Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the show. 15 minutes ago, the Wizards made it official. They tweeted, leaving a legacy. Real Deal Beal 23 has signed a new five-year deal to remain in D.C. Hashtag D.C. family. Time for a little I'm just here for the comments on Grant and Danny.
Oh, buddy.
So I scroll below that tweet, and the responses are not great. It's Twitter. It's a terrible place, and everyone's negative. I get that. But you have hits such as, you had me at leaving. This team needs to rebuild. Congrats to Beal, though. Nah, leaving with the bag, man. I hope he's an investment. And then how about legacy of what? 35 wins and lottery picks? Very, very different than the Commanders announcing that Terry McLaurin had been re-signed. And the response underneath of that tweet.
Very, very, very different. I would say it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, yeah, contrast. One is optimistic. One is fun. One is yay. The other is like, as you said, the best that is okay. Like, that's, I don't know, man. I know it's not a great judge of anything. And I know internet comments are always the worst. I'm dealing with one right now. Here, I'm at Fun and Andy Grant at Grant H. Paulson. But man, oh, man, it was just, there's like one guy that looks like a bot that's like, this is great. What a great day. Congratulations to the Wizards, and also Bradley Beal, and also at Ted Leonsis. Yay! I love the direction of the franchise. Also, yay. Like, and then everyone else is like, this sucks.
Beltway Blitz time. We will talk Wizards with Wes Hall and Commanders with Ethan Cadeau, but let's get things started right now on the diamond. Nats got destroyed by the Phillies last night, a double-digit run loss. They got shut out. They have lost six in a row. They've got the worst record now in the National League, and one of the two worst records in baseball. And they turned to Josiah Gray tonight against Aaron Nola, who's one of the top pitchers in Philadelphia. Craig Heiss joins us to break down the Nats. Star, it's gotten ugly for the good guys, huh?
Yeah, six straight. And when you look at it overall, Grant, they've lost 18 of their last 19 division games, and that puts them at 6-29 against the rest of the National League East. And on the other side of that, they're 23-25 against everyone else. So games within the division certainly have been an issue for them this year.
And there a couple guys that they've called up, Heisty, with Jackson Tetro and Evan Lee, snake pit with injuries. It looked like it might be a Cade Cavalli situation, which is some reason for optimism and excitement, but it looks like that's not the case. Yoan Adone has joined the team in Philadelphia. It looks like he'll be the guy to make the start tomorrow. But, you know, what do we have to look forward to here, thinking about some of those kids making their debuts?
Well, it's going to be tough and learning on the job. And you're right, Adone is in the clubhouse in Philadelphia and probably is the guy to get that 4 o'clock start tomorrow afternoon. But Cavalli's scheduled to start for the Red Wings tonight. Josh Rogers, also a candidate, you might think, but he's scheduled to have that rehab assignment in Harrisburg tonight, so that automatically ruled them out. So that's why you see Adone in the clubhouse and probably starting tomorrow. But again, we've seen him this year. We've seen some good. We've seen some bad. We've seen a high ERA with him. And again, the bottom line for him is to just go out there and try to throw strikes tomorrow. If he throws strikes, he can get, you know, at least into the middle of the game and hopefully keep the Nats in it. But, I mean, let's face it, this team right now, through this losing streak, has averaged 3.1 runs a game. And had they not scored seven in the first loss of this streak to the Pirates, it would be worse than that. So offensively, they're struggling. Last night, obviously, they didn't have Juan Soto again with the calf injury. Probably won't have him again tonight. And Nelson Cruz last night was a late scratch because of a stomach illness.
Heisty, what do I got to do to see Cade Cavalli? He's made 19 starts in AAA after tonight, dating back to last year. 30 starts above A-ball, which for an elite-level prospect is a lot. I mean, it's not to say that he's overly ready or anything.
No.
But progress isn't linear. I mean, he's going to struggle in AAA at times. He's going to struggle in the big league at times. They're not that different.
Well,
I don't know. I'm ready to see the guy. What do I got
to
do?
Well, I'm ready to see him, too. But you have Mike Rizzo's number on speed dial. I know you do. So let's get him up here and see what he can do. I mean, they can't get any worse than what they are right now. And they need some pitching. So let's bring him up. You know, Bill Latson of MLB.com used to look at me all the time. And when we were in spring training or we would be covering the games through the season, he'd say, "Play the kids, play the kids." And I'm about ready for that right now.
I just a quick one here. I asked Mark Zuckerman this yesterday. I want to get your opinion. What's been the most disappointing thing about this year? It can be a player. It can be something that's happened or hasn't happened. Just give me your big picture thought.
To me, the way they fielded the ball, Danny, I expected some struggles with the pitching staff, but overall, collectively, defensively, they just need to keep making plays. And sometimes with Luis Garcia, you see the footwork out of whack, and he's making throwing errors. And they just have mental lapses to me, and that's the biggest thing for me. On the other side of that, though, I think the one thing up until last night was pretty solid effort from the bullpen.
Heisty, thank you, sir. We appreciate you.
Okay.
Let's talk some hoops. Wes Hall, who has a very deep voice and is freshly married. Congratulations, first of all, Wes.
Congrats, buddy.
The pictures
look appreciate
beautiful.
That. Thank you much.
And I'm glad you didn't bite Ryan's head off. Ryan texted you on your wedding day to come on the show, and you're like, "Hey, man, I'd love to come on, but I'm about to walk down the aisle."
I'm literally waiting for my bride at the altar here.
you guys are so cool. The last thing I could do is bite somebody's head off. But it was the most diplomatic schedule push that I could offer up. So thanks for being good sports about it.
Hey, we're giving away WWE tickets at the end of this segment. I'm just curious, before we launch in to the Wiz, who was your guy growing up in wrestling that you were acting like, you know, jumping around in your basement?
Oh, my. Man, to be fully candid, it probably had to be either the Ultimate Warrior. I was a high-energy kid that was all about destruction and terror. But, man, that was the golden era of wrestling. So, I mean, like, I'm a big fan of Sting. I was a big fan of Stinger. But put somebody in a figure four, I think I might have dislocated my brother's hips a couple of times trying that move. So, yeah, all of the above. But Ultimate Warrior, yeah, pure energy, turn up, let's go.
The best promos that didn't make any sense at all.
What?
the signing, it's official. Signed, sealed, delivered, Bradley Beal here, awful lot of money, the years, et cetera. How do they build around him to get to where they think they can go?
Well, in my honest opinion, the way that you build around Brad is you understand what the Eastern Conference looks like right now. And looking at the landscape, when you get a guy like DeJounte Murray coming out of San Antonio to go to Atlanta, that tells you that the Eastern Conference is stacked with a lot of athletic guys who can play more than one position, kind of like a series of combo guards in that regard. So for Brad, putting him alongside, you know, Porzingis, you got Kuz, you bring in Monte Morris and Will Barton, you're looking at some guys that are a little more interchangeable, and it prevents such a real drop-off between the first and second units. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for guys to really come out and compete, because the East is tough, regardless of what happens in Brooklyn, because that's just a crazy dumpster fire of chaos that I don't want any parts of.
Yeah, it's a mess. I guess it's a good thing we're not Brooklyn. We could say that.
We're not Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You just named five guys. Are those, in your mind, the projected starters? What do you think the lineup or the depth chart will look like now?
Looking at that, at the one, definitely I see Monte coming in as a starter. He's going to compete for that, but I think that's his, averaging 13 points last year in Denver himself. And again, both of he and Will coming over from Denver, they know Wes's system, so I'm happy there. Keep Brad at the two, Kuz at the three. You'll probably have Rui at the four, and Porzingis at the five. That seems to be an early projection right now, in my opinion.
So, Wes, one of the things that's driven me nuts here over the last several seasons, I'm fine with losing as long as it's for a purpose, right? Like, if you're not going to win games, for me, it can't be with vets. It's got to be with kids. It drove me nuts when, like, Troy Brown couldn't get minutes a few years ago. Now, it's not that he's the end-all be-all, but for a team that's going to lose 55 games, I need my first-round draft pick to play. I look at this roster right now, it's pretty crowded in a lot of spots, especially on the wings with kind of this interchangeable basketball. Here's where I'm going. I like Johnny Davis. That guy can play a little bit. I think he can help you. Is he going to get enough minutes to make it worth our while?
I understand the argument for that because it was the same question we had with Kispert. How much time is he going to get on a team that already had a guy shooting ahead of him like Davis Bertans when Bertans was shooting? The same thing with Denny. You know, plus you get Rui and Denny's first two seasons are chaotic due to COVID and a lot of other stuff. When it comes to Johnny, think of it like this. Is it fair to put him in a situation with those other veterans on this team, Kuzma having already won a championship, Brad obviously wanting to get beyond the second round of the end, to the second and or further in the playoffs, is it fair to put a young point guard in that situation? I don't think it is. Now, unless you get a dude like, you know, John Morant, and this is no shot at Johnny Davis, but unless you get a guy like John Morant who you know is just going to completely change the trajectory of your franchise overnight, I say it's not fair to put the young guy in that position. So having Monte being in front of him, Johnny can learn from him, and the skill set that Johnny has, especially at his height, and the fact that Johnny is really focused on defense, that's where I think he bodes well, and this is a good situation for him. But, yeah, he's going to have to work, especially in summer league, to go ahead and show that he's worthy of those minutes that he wants.
Wes, anybody else on the summer league roster that has someone super plugged in on this team you would tell me to keep a close eye on or that we should really be tracking?
Isaiah Todd. Took him a couple years ago, last year as a matter of fact, and the expectations for him are pretty high. He didn't get a lot of playing time, but you know he spent a lot of time down with the Capital City Go-Go. This is his opportunity to shine. Another one would be Jaime Echenique. Jaime, we talked about him being the first Colombian player in the NBA. He's excited about another opportunity to continue to show what he's got and prove. So Jordan Shackle, I mean, Jordan Shackle is another walking bucket low-key. Keep my eye on him. I don't want to give you every name on the roster because that kind of defeats the purpose of the question. But if I had to give you one off top, look at Isaiah Todd and see how he works with Johnny Davis. I think that's a good sign for the future.
Wes, thank you as always, buddy. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. Talk soon. Darius hit that commander sounder. That guy, Darius. Ethan Cadeau writes about the commanders. That's not a shot. That's not a shot, Italy. For NBC Sports Washington, Ethan, I think this Terry McLaurin signing is a major win. Obviously, for Terry, he got paid. He came from a guy that was barely offered a scholarship at Ohio State to full-fledged NFL star. I think it's a major win for Ron and the Martys in this organization at a time where they didn't have much going right.
Completely agree. I would say it's the rare case where it's a win-win for both the organization and the team. And like you said, they needed good news very badly, and this was the best news they could have given this offseason.
What'd you make of the press conference today and McLaurin pouring his heart out about what it means to get paid and for all of his work to have been worthwhile?
Yeah, I'd say every time Terry McLaurin speaks, he sounds more and more impressive. I mean, it's impossible to not love the guy. He says everything the right way, does everything the right way, and most importantly, he produces when he's on the field. I mean, we've all talked about how many different quarterbacks he's had, yet still back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, but the thing that impressed me the most is he feels this is just the start. He had a quote about how he feels like he's going to enter camp with the same mentality he did as a rookie, where he has to earn his spot. So I'm really excited to see the next level he can take his game now that he's here long-term.
Baker Mayfield was traded for a 2024 conditional fifth. In fact, Carolina spent more to trade up to get Matt Corral than they did on Baker Mayfield. Cleveland's going to pick up most of the salary. Matt Ryan was traded for a third-round pick. And Carson Wentz, we know the score, right? It's I guess it's a second and a third, conditional 2023 third. That's probably going to become a second. Washington paying the full freight here. I guess the advantage, Ethan, is they can get out of it if he stinks. That's nice, I suppose. But it's hard to look at those three deals and say the Commanders did okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important about when comparing all three of those is the time at which each deal happened. I mean, yeah, the Browns kind of didn't really get anything from Baker here, but the Panthers are getting their starter in July, didn't have all of the offseason to kind of build that rapport with his new receivers, running backs, and all that. So he's going to have to really learn the system quick in training camp, and he's also only on the books for one more year. So I feel like Carolina can move on from Baker after this year if it doesn't work out either. But I think the desperation Washington had to find a franchise quarterback in March and February was evident. And when they saw an opportunity to go get Wentz, who should be at the very least an upgrade over Heinicke and whoever else Washington had in their plans, I think that opportunity was too good where they felt like they needed to shell out a few thirds and all that just to get the guy.
How big is the difference between Wentz and Mayfield as a starting quarterback in this league right now?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, they're probably very close to one another. I'd say Baker's success is more recent. In 2020, led the Browns to the playoffs, had a really good year, but both of them are kind of on, I wouldn't say their last legs, but if these stops don't go well as starters, it's hard to imagine another team courting them, making them their QB1 the way both Washington and now Carolina are doing respectively with Wentz and Baker.
What should we expect from this Washington offense this year? They're expensive, and I think it's the right thing to do, by the way, for the record. It's if you don't have a good offense, you spend until you do. You figure it out. But they're top three in terms of salary cap allocation for this offense. We mentioned the contracts for for Curtis Samuel and Carson Wentz, and now Terry McLaurin is going to be under contract for a bunch of money. They need to produce. What should our expectation be, and what's their ceiling?
Yeah, I fully expect them to be a top 15, hope, I mean, not top 15, top 10. If top 15 with that salary, that's not good. But yeah, Jahan Dotson, everything's been good so far with him. He looks the part. Terry, we know what Terry brings to the table, but you have three serviceable running backs in Gibson, Brian Robinson Jr., and McKissick, all who have shown potential to be really good. And the tight end, there's some intrigue there with Cole Turner, even if Logan Thomas isn't healthy. So I expect there's no excuses for this team, pretty much. They have all the pieces in place to score 25, 30 points a game. And if they're not able to do that, especially with this easier schedule they have, then there's going to be some real question marks surrounding the offense and offensive coordinator, Scott Turner.
Ethan Godot, check him out, NBCSportsWashington.com. Thank you. We appreciate you hopping on the Blitz.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Danny, who was your wrestler of choice growing up?
I, of course, loved Hulk Hogan like everybody else did, but my favorite, based on an appearance in the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland, when he came to Hulk Hogan's rescue, was the Junkyard Dog. JYD saved the day. Now, Rowdy Piper, he didn't play by the rules, GP. You know that. So Hogan beats Piper, main event, kind of the end of the night, and he's giving everybody the what for, giving everybody a little bit louder. I've already torn my tank top, etc. Rowdy Piper calls a bunch of his cronies out, and they're beating on Hogan. Someone's got to save Hulk Hogan in the middle of the ring. Here comes the Junkyard Dog from about 6 feet from where I was sitting, right by the entrance, barking and hissing with his big chain rolling around. I mean, I almost passed out. I saw stars. I've never been that excited in my life.
That's a great feeling as a kid when your guy starts running incredible. Out of the ring. I think everyone says that they were a fan during the golden age of wrestling. I'm here to tell you, Danny, that I actually was. The Attitude Era, my friend. If you're my age, if you're Darius's age, you know. And if you're not, you don't quite get it. We had The Rock, and we had Stone Cold, and Degeneration X. And I almost threw Gold Dust in there, which would have been a guy that didn't quite belong. But it was just a great era.
Yeah.
He was there as well.
Yeah.
I bring this up to say we got tickets to WWE Raw on August 15th at Capital One Arena. And right now, caller number 10 is winning a pair of our good seats. Congratulations, you're winning tickets to Raw, 800-636-1067, just for listening to your pals Grant and Danny. We're going to be giving away tickets throughout the week, including another pair before we get out of here tonight at about 6:20 or so. So make sure you're listening in 2 hours if you don't win right now. Buy your tickets this moment at Ticketmaster.com if you want to be there for WWE Raw, middle of next month, downtown in D.C. We have not gotten into the McLaurin press conference today. There's a bunch of stuff we want to play for you, including one of my favorite answers for Terry at the mic ever. That audio next, as soon as we return on G&D.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, I feel like, you know, to Coach Rivera's credit and, you know, the staff here, we have a really unselfish group of guys in that locker room. And we have a lot of guys who are competitive and hungry. And they want to see Washington be back on top. I mean, I have a great relationship with Mr. Williams since I've gotten here. He's taken me under his wing. And the number one thing I tell him, I just want to make that 17 continue to look good, you know. And meeting Gary Clark yesterday in person and seeing just the history of this organization. And we all know where it was, and we all know where we want to head to. And I think we're all on the same page for that. But we also understand that it's going to take the work and the dedication from everybody involved to get us back there. And so I want to be a part of that, the place where I was drafted to, the place where the fans, you know, just show me so much love and appreciation and are so passionate about just this fan base and in this organization and the history of it. Something I wanted to be a part of, especially where we're at now, where I feel like we're heading.
Terry McLaurin today in Ashburn. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. McLaurin's press conference was fantastic. Went back and listened to the entire thing. Some of my takeaways, Danny, and I want to see if there's anything that you jotted down that I don't mention here. It sounds like the team did a really nice job on his official signing day when he showed up at the facility. They were playing highlights on a video screen behind him, and he just said it was first class, and they made him feel like, well, probably $70 million, I would imagine. But, you know, they rolled out the red carpet, I guess, literally, as he came into the building, and he said it was really, really just well put together. And even the video team and what they had done made him feel extra special as he put pen to paper on his new contract. So I think that's really cool. And players like that kind of thing. You know, that gets around when you start having those type of presentations. And it just shows an added level of effort and appreciation for your players, where 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago maybe, nobody's doing anything like that. But nowadays, it's kind of the norm. And if you're not, players take note of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it can – there's a way to do it that's right. Does that make sense? Like, you remember, this is an obscure reference, but the show Entourage, which I thought at times was actually really brilliant, really, really well done. But there's a time where Vince, the main character, becomes an agency free agent, right? Like, he'd been with Ari, he'd been with that agency forever, and he's like, I don't want to hear another canned pitch. I don't want to hear, like, another line of BS. Where, like, he walks in, and the agency that that's pitching him is like, Apple, Pepsi, you know, the Rolling Stones, Vince. You know, it's so over the top and cheesy. And then Ari does the same thing, and he's, like, heartbroken by it. So there's, like, a way to do it that actually feels personal, and it sounds like the team did that. Right, they didn't just do like some canned thing. It was like, who would mean a lot to Terry McLaurin? Well, how about a local legend? How about a guy that was incredible here that came from not that much as a receiver from JMU in Gary Clark? You know, those kind of personal touches. It sounds like the whole thing was first class.
Next thing that I noticed is he mentioned that he's flying out to Los Angeles to go throw with Carson Wentz. And he said he was flying out as soon as the press conference ended. And I don't know the actual flight plan, but basically, I think it's not just them. It's going to be the opportunity for the whole crew to get together. You see this a lot of the time where a quarterback gets a bunch of his pass catchers to go to one location and train away from the facility. And I think that's what's going to happen here. So I love that, especially because they're a little bit behind. You and I both said after he didn't show up for OTAs and for minicamp, the thought was, well, they're going to have to play catch up. He'll be able to, but they're going to have to work on their own time. And it doesn't sound like he's wasting any time. He officially signed his contract yesterday, and today he's on a plane going out to Los Angeles to get with Carson Wentz, which is not surprising. It's actually exactly what I expect from him, but it's also the right thing to do after you miss some important time this offseason.
Agreed. I loved that. Just reminding everybody, this is great. We're happy. And by the way, I'll just throw in that Sounded like he cried when the deal got done. I love that. I know maybe I'm sappy and a little bit sentimental, but that made me so happy. I just want people who want to be here. I want to root for people that would like to make me happy as just a sad, pudgy sports fan. You know, like he wants to play well, wants to be here, wants to bring all of us dumb fans joy. I love that part of it. But yeah, the where the rubber meets the road is we got to go play a bunch of football games and we got to beat a bunch of people. We got to beat the teams that you hate, Danny Ruggiero. He may as well have been looking me in the eye and telling me that. I love that. He's like, yeah, I got to go get to work right after this. So ask your questions, give me all your stuff via Zoom, but Carson and I got to throw. I love that.
So this was another big moment, I thought, today, at least in the way of the parts of this offseason McLaurin standoff that you and I cared about as a show. He said his confidence never really wavered about coming back here. That based on, and I think this is key for Ron Rivera, and I love hearing this, based on the conversations he had directly with Rivera, he knew something was going to get done. And it sounds like that was before he left the building this season, but maybe even in subsequent phone calls where Rivera would reach out to him and let him know, hey, you're important to us. We're going to handle this. Don't worry about it. You can tell he really, really likes Rivera. So does John Allen, it seems like, or at least publicly, they seem to do nothing but heap praise on Rivera as a man and as a coach. And in fact, both of them, when they re-signed, said mm-hmm. one of the big reasons for doing so was because they think something is being built here. They think something foundational is actually taking place, and they gave Rivera the credit for that. But in the case of McLaurin today, he said that he never wavered, even as the market was exploding, that he always thought the deal was going to get done because he wanted to be here, and he knew that Rivera had told him, and it sounds like several different conversations, mm-hmm. you're going to be here. And I loved that because while I was always fairly confident it was going to happen, you know, I certainly had my anxieties like everybody else did. I know there was some speculation that maybe they were going to screw this up. And McLaurin never had that, it doesn't sound like. Now, maybe that's lip service after the fact, but I kind of take him at his word, especially if Rivera is taking the time to hit you up and call you. That tells you everything you need to know.
No, it certainly does. And again, this I was skeptical simply because of what was happening around them. Not their communication. I'm sure Rivera had goodwill, and I'm sure McLaurin had goodwill. But the world changed, right? If you had tried to do this contract last year, I think it would have been a bit simpler, if a lot less moving parts. But Philadelphia traded for A.J. Brown. Hollywood Brown was on the move. Davante Adams changed teams. Tyreek Hill changed teams. D.J. Moore got a huge amount. A lot of things changed at the receiver position just in the last 4 or 5 months. And that's what said to me that the team was behind the ball on this one. They weren't quite ready for this landscape to have changed in the way that it did. And, you know, the agent, Terry McLaurin's agent in this case, probably was and sort of knew what was going to happen. And the longer they waited, et cetera, I thought maybe this had gotten away from them. I was wrong. The team was right. And I loved hearing that there was this good line of communication. It never got acrimonious, at least from Terry's perspective.
Another of my takeaways, Carson Wentz regularly reached out to McLaurin this offseason about his contract situation. I guess that shouldn't be shocking or surprising even, but they didn't know each other at all. They had no real existing relationship necessarily. And we've heard all of the knocks and dings on Wentz's character as it pertains to being a teammate and just getting along with guys and relating to fellow players in the locker room. I love that he says Wentz was checking in on him. Hey, how are you getting closer? When do you think you're going to be here? How are things going? He doesn't have to do that yet. In theory, their relationship hasn't really gotten underway. So that bodes well for me as I'm trying to figure out how is it possible that multiple places now say the same kind of things about you if it's just a coincidence or it's not right. What I care about is this is his last shot. Like, what are his actions here? What is his relationship going to be like with his teammates here? I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, that was a good window, right? Because we only get so much. We don't know what we don't know here. I mean, you hear the speculation, and you look at the circumstantial evidence, certainly, that says, you know, Carson Wentz played his way or acted his way or whatever out of two different places. And so you could sort of guess, but all we can judge on is what we hear and see. We don't get to see all that much. But so those kind of windows, I think, are instructive. And to this point, it seems like we're in a good place with him and his teammates.
McLaurin, excellent in his press conference today This answer is a little bit lengthier than the majority of his were, but I want to play it because I thought it was really good. Cut number 11, Darius, on him talking about reacting to the money that he was making now and how grateful he is. Just a window into why so many people in this town have fallen in love with this player and this person.
Man, I almost get emotional right now. Like, I cry, and I cry some real tears because for a lot of my life, I really had to grind and work for what I have now. And I had a lot of adversities, and, you know, some people didn't necessarily believe in my ability, but my faith that sustained me, the people that my village, the people that were praying for me, sacrificing for me, my family, my girlfriend, my homies back in Indianapolis, like, I had so many people are the reason why I'm standing here today, and I wouldn't be here without them. And so my biggest mindset and what really pushed me is just to be my best self each and every day, like, not really worry about what the things I could not control, but to worry about the things I could control. And one thing I was raised with was an extreme work ethic. I saw my parents get up and never miss a day of work and work, and to be able to help them and be in a position where they possibly don't have to work anymore is a blessing for me. Anything I would say to anybody out there is just continue to have faith and believe in yourself. Make sure you put the work in and be honest and accountable, not only to yourself, but the people in the circle around you. It's really important to have the right people around you to not only help you to deal with the highs, but the lows. And genuinely, I've had the best support system. And I really think the best is yet to come for my life personally and professionally because of the people I have in my life and the work that I've tried to put in mentally and to just better myself as a human being. And it's really cool to be standing here as a kid from Indianapolis, you know, young, just had a dream to play in the NFL, man. And it's very surreal. So I'm really excited, and I'm just humble because I try to do things the right way, you know what I mean, and be true to myself. And to see in a world, in a culture, sometimes, you know, you got to do certain things to get your way, or, you know, things that go viral. Just stay true to yourself and be a professional that's still rewarded, man. That's a lesson and a testimony that I'll have to share with other people and the guys in this locker room and the people I meet out on the outside world. So,
boom.
Love you, Terry.
That the end of that answer is not only my favorite Terry McLaurin answer ever. It's one of my favorite comments from an athlete in recent history. When he says, I'm humbled because I try to do things the right way. And then he did my rant that I always do on the show. We live in a world where right now, culturally, you got to do certain things to get your way, and you know what goes viral. You know what plays. You act like a jackass, you get what you want, and you know, you're Kim Kardashian and you run the world because you had a sex tape that one time. Well, that's awesome for everybody involved. Everything's going great here. Morals matter. But for Terry McLaurin, who does it the right way, you don't finish last. You can win that way too. God, I love that answer, man. That was awesome.
Same. I mean, you could see, and the unselfish thinking there as well. He had another answer, and this will be brief. I just we'll read it. I don't really go into the season thinking I need to have 1,500 yards. I think truly you have the most success individually when you have the most success as a team. And it kind of gives you the kind of the instrumental look into what he's talking about, right? Where it's, I know I stand here, I worked really hard. Lots of people work hard. He's, you know, just considering how fortunate he is to have the support system he's had, and have people recognize his talent and the potential that he exhibited. And all you did was everything the right way. And when guys like that get rewarded, it is splendid. I'm with you, Dave.
It's not an act, by the way, with him. Like, truly, we've seen it now for 3 years. He walks this walk. Top of the hour, Greg McElroy covers college football. He's got some insight for us on the conference restructuring going on in the NCAA ranks. Want to talk to him. That's about 20 minutes away. More on McLaurin's press conference from today in Ashburn. Some of the highlights and the audio you haven't heard yet as we continue on G&D on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little?
or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And genuinely, I've had the best support system, and I really think the best is yet to come for my life personally and professionally because of the people I have in my life and the work that I try to put in mentally and to just better myself as a human being. And it's really cool to be standing here as a kid from Indianapolis, you know, young, just had a dream to play in the NFL, man. And it's very surreal, so I'm really excited. And I'm just humble because I try to do things the right way, you know what I mean, and be true to myself. And to see in a world, in a culture, sometimes, you know, you got to do certain things to get your way, or, you know, things that go viral. Just stay true to yourself and be a professional. That's still rewarded, man. That's a lesson and a testimony that I'll have to share with other people and the guys in this locker room and the people I meet out on the outside world, so.
Attaboy, Terry McLaurin. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Do you have to know someone to name them the godfather of your children, or no?
Great question. I don't know legally if you have to. I think if you just informed Terry through intermediaries, like, hey, FYI, if we have another one, godfather.
If there's another president, he's in the running right now for the godfather at this point. He sleeps 20 feet away.
He sleeps 20 feet away. It's out. The Godfather.
His house right there. I saw this, by the way. We're loving on Terry McLaurin. NFL teams with the most arrests since 2000. McLaurin, if you had 53 of him, you would not show up on this list. So it doesn't show the Commanders because it basically gives you like the 10 teams that have been arrested the most and then the fewest. The Vikings with 55 arrests since 2000 are your leaders. Broncos second in these standings. Then the Bengals, which I would have thought would have been higher. The Chiefs, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Titans. Team with the fewest arrests since 2000, the Houston Texans with 16.
Again, surprising. Just because a lot of attention has been paid to Houston lately for some wrongdoing by a high-profile player, so it makes it seem like it's more. But yeah, those are them's the stats.
I don't think that today's the day for the Texans to take a victory lap on that.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe hold off on backpatting.
They might just want to sit a player or two out, but probably good timing for them to have that come out. All right, let's a couple of clips here from McLaurin. I want to know why he took a 3-year deal instead of a 4-year deal. And he was asked this question. This is cut 17. To me, from a business standpoint, this is probably the most interesting thing about his contract was it was only 3 more new years after the year that he's already got. He's under contract for this year. So he's under contract now for 4 years, but 3 was at least one, probably 2 years shorter than people were expecting. Why that structure? This is what he said.
I mean, I trusted the plan that my agent laid out in front of me. I think as well with Coach Rivera and you know, the organization, I felt like this was a contract that best fit me. And I wasn't really worried about what fits somebody else. I was just really worried about what fits me. So I'm really not really worried about the future too much, but just trying to, you know, just relish in this moment, enjoy where I'm at now, and come back with that day one approach so I'm ready for camp and help these young guys and Jahan, who, you know, for what I've heard and I've reached out to him, like he's a great dude. And sounds like a guy who's going to fit right in our culture and what we're trying to build here. So I'm really excited to help guys like that and the other guys on defense and the young people there. So I think I have now a unique perspective because I've come in as a guy just trying to make his spot. And just in my fourth year, I've been blessed enough to be named a captain by my teammates. And that's what gives me the most motivation because, you know, they see what the work you put in, the person, the player you are, and they trust you to help lead this team. And I take a lot of pride in that. So I'm really excited to share the wisdom that I've had up until this point and what I'm going to continue to learn across my journey.
You mentioned basically that he followed his agent on that. And to me, what that says is, number one, let's make sure Washington's going to get its act together here. But maybe more importantly, Danny, number two, let's get you paid one more time before it's all said and done.
That's what I thought.
He's 26 years old. This pays him through age 30. You go back to the well for money at 30 instead of 31 or 32 at wide receiver, you might get one or two more seasons of really legitimate pay out of that. So sounds like that was his idea, not the team's. And the way then the team was able to make up for, you know, his concession on years was to give him more of that money up front and signing bonus and you know, give him more in guarantees.
That's what I guessed, obviously, but to hear him say it, that sounds more like what the plan was, right? So for the team's perspective, you know, you got a guy through his pretty much his age 30 season. And we talked about this the other day when it was first announced that this was going to happen. There were not many guys in the top 50 or 60 or even 70 among wide receivers that were on that side of 30. It's just not the era for that anymore. It doesn't mean it can't happen, certainly. Doesn't mean that Terry McLaurin won't be productive just because, you know, the mileage, you know, it's not as if he's played from age 21 through 26 in the league and he's gotten that many more hits, that many more close calls, hospital balls from bad quarterbacks or otherwise. But, you know, you never know. It's just the way this game is, how fast it is and how rough it is. You may not be that same player in a handful of years. Maybe, you know, for every Jerry Rice, there's a million guys that have just kind of fallen off a cliff. See Julio Jones, for example. So it makes sense from the team's perspective, right? It also makes sense from the player betting on himself's perspective, right? And the agent, as McLaurin put it, guided him through that. If you still are excellent producing at a really high level, let's get you one more bite at this apple right here for a guy that you could get another pretty big payday as the salary caps are not getting any lower here over the next handful of years. We lose GP. Might have lost him. We'll grab him back there. The Comrex, for a couple of days, boys, had been on fire. I just was complacent. I took a sip of water. How dare I do that? That is on me. We got Greg McElroy coming up here in about 5 minutes. He will join us to break down the insanity that has gone on in college football with, I mean, if you want to call it realignment, it feels like tectonic plates are shifting. So it's more than just, oh, these guys jump conference. It's everything is changing at a rapid pace in college football. We'll have him break it down. That's 5 minutes away here on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.